Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Honeycomb Trader, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, Smoke and Mirrors. Rain slashed sideways through the skeletal trees, needling my face like shards of glass. The Pacific Northwest in November was a drowned world, all gray skies and mud, the kind of cold that chewed through your bones. I stood under the sagging awning of an abandoned gas station, watching her through binoculars. Vega, leader of the hive, eco-terrorist, ghost. She was ankle-deep in a slurry of rainwater and diesel runoff, shouting orders at six militants in black balaclavas as they heaved crates into the back of a rusted van. Even from 50 yards, her voice cut through the storm, a serrated edge, all command and contempt. "Move faster, or I'll feed your fingers to the dogs." One of the men flinched, nearly dropping his crate. She kicked his shin, hard enough to make him stagger. "Faster." I'd spent 3 months crawling through the radical underbelly of the Cascadia movement to get here. 3 months of fake names, fake ideologies, fake bomb-making tutorials in damp basements. 3 months of proving my loyalty by torching SUVs in Seattle suburbs and hacking security feeds for their hive strikes. All to earn a whisper of her name. Vega. The CIA's file on her was thinner than a eulogy. No last name. No fingerprints. Just a list of atrocities. The Trans-Alaska pipeline bombing that lit the Arctic sky on fire. The CEO of Petrostar drowned in his own swimming pool. The luxury ski resort reduced to ash during peak season. Langley called her a high-value destabilizer. The activists I'd bled alongside called her a saint. Up close, she was neither. She was something worse. Her hair was a wildfire of auburn tangles, half-soaked and plastered to her neck. A jagged scar curled up from her collarbone to her jawline, pale against her sunburned skin. She wore a threadbare army jacket, the sleeves rolled to her elbows, and combat boots caked in mud. But it was her eyes that gutted me, gunmetal gray, sharp enough to flay flesh. My handler's warning hissed in my ear again. "She's a spider. Get too close, and she'll eat you alive." The van doors slammed. Vega vaulted into the passenger seat without looking back, and the tires spat mud as it fishtailed onto the logging road. I waited until the taillights vanished into the rain before stepping out of the shadows. My boots sank into the muck as I approached the loading site. Kneeling, I swiped a finger through the rainbow slick of chemical residue pooling near the tire tracks. Ammonium nitrate. Enough to level a city block. "Got you." They brought me to her that night. The rendezvous point was a rotting warehouse on the Tacoma docks, its corrugated walls groaning in the wind. Two hive Enrons met me at the door, a hulking brute with a face like a fist and a wiry woman with a sawed-off shotgun strapped to her back. They didn't speak. Just frisked me, took my knife and phone, and shoved me into the belly of the building. The air reeked of salt water and decay. Flickering fluorescence cast long shadows over stacks of stolen cargo. Drums of acetone, pallets of fertilizer, crates of blasting caps stamped with Cyrillic lettering. Militants moved through the gloom like ants, their faces obscured by scarves and goggles. At the far end of the room, Vega leaned over a map spread across a splintered table, a cigarette dangling from her lips. "You're the new guy," she said without looking up. "The one who rigged the Alberta pipeline." I shoved my hands into my pockets to hide the tremor. "Yeah, corporate pricks had it coming." She straightened, and the room seemed to shrink. Her gaze scraped over me, my scarred knuckles, my oil-stained jeans, the tattoo peeking from my collar, Semper Fi, a lie inked after Kandahar. "You're good," she said, flicking ash onto the floor. "Too good. Almost like someone trained you." I forced a smirk. "Maybe I'm just pissed at the world." She moved then, a panther's grace. Before I could blink, she was inches from my face, a butterfly knife snapping open in her hand. The blade glinted as she pressed it to my throat. Cold steel kissed my Adam's apple. "Or maybe," she whispered, her breath warm and mint sharp, "you're a liar." The room froze. I heard the click of safety switching off, the creak of boots shifting weight. My pulse roared in my ears. She knows. She knows. She knows. But I'd been trained for this. I held her stare, letting my voice drop into something raw, something honest. You think I'm a cop? A fed? Go ahead. I leaned into the blade, felt it bite skin. Cut me open. See what spills out. A beat. Two. Her eyes narrowed, calculating, probing. Then, without warning, she laughed. A low, rasping sound that rolled through the room like thunder. The knife vanished. I like liars, she said, thumbing the blood from my neck. They're flexible. Before I could react, she grabbed my jacket and yanked me into a kiss. It wasn't gentle. It was a collision. Lips bruising, teeth clashing, her hands fisted in my hair. She tasted like gunpowder and nicotine and something bitter, metallic. Grenade dust, I realized. Her tongue swept against mine, demanding, possessive, and for a heartbeat, I forgot the knife, the mission, the fucking war in my chest. Then she bit down, hard, and I jerked back with a curse. Tell Langley I want double the price for my silence, she murmured, her thumb smearing blood from my split lip. Ice flooded my veins. She knew. From the start. The warehouse seemed to tilt. I opened my mouth to lie, to beg, to something, but she turned away, snapping orders at her crew. Pack it up. We move at dawn. The militants scattered. Vega glanced over her shoulder, her smirk a blade in the dark. Sleep here tonight, agent. We've got a long day tomorrow. She left me standing there, blood dripping onto my shirt, the taste of her still burning on my tongue. They gave me a cot in the corner beside a space heater that coughed like a dying man. I lay awake, listening to the drip of leaking pipes and the murmurs of the night watch. Every nerve screamed. Abort. Run. Disappear. But Langley hadn't pulled me out, which meant they still thought I could salvage this, or they'd already written me off. I reached under the cot, fingers brushing the panic button sewn into my belt, a last resort beacon that would detonate a half mile away, giving me cover to flee. I'd used one once before, in Aleppo. The explosion had taken out a bakery, a school bus, and a 9-year-old girl carrying a pink backpack. My hand fell away. Dawn came milky and grim. Vega woke me by kicking the cot over. I hit the concrete, disoriented, and looked up to find her aiming a Glock at my forehead. Get up, she said. We're going for a drive. The drive was a test. She shoved me into the passenger seat of a stolen Ford pickup and tore down backroads choked with fog, the radio blaring static. You ever kill anyone, agent? She asked casually, swerving around a pothole. No lie number 482. She laughed. Bullshit. I've seen your eyes. They're the same as mine. We stopped at a cliffside overlook, the Puget Sound churning below. Vega stepped out, lit a cigarette, and pointed to a cargo ship on the horizon. See that? Petrostar tanker. 5 million gallons of crude. She handed me the binoculars. Your friends at Langley would cream their pants if it sank, huh? I said nothing. She blew smoke in my face. Here's the thing. I don't care if you're CIA. I don't care if you're recording this. You want to play both sides? Fine. But you're going to prove you're worth the risk. She tossed a burner phone into my lap. A single contact flashed on the screen, detonator. Call the number, she said, or I push you off this cliff. The wind howled. I stared at the phone, then at her. What's the target? Her smile was all teeth. You'll know when you hear the boom. I made the call. 20 minutes later, the tanker erupted in a fireball so bright it seared my retinas. Black smoke plumed into the sky, and the shockwave rattled the truck's windows. Vega hooped, slamming her palm on the steering wheel like it was a goddamn football game. Attaboy, agent. She punched my arm, her eyes alive with fury and glee. Now we're partners. I stared at the burning ship, nausea rising in my throat. The detonator's voice echoed in my skull, confirmed, 3 crewmen on board. And I wondered if Langley's psyche valve had mentioned how many bodies I could swallow before I choked. Vega leaned over, her lips grazing my ear. Welcome to the hive. Her kiss this time was softer. It didn't help. Chapter 2, The Web Titans. Sleep didn't come easy in the hive's bunker. The walls were concrete, the air thick with the stink of mildew and unwashed bodies, and the fluorescent lights buzzed like hornets trapped in glass. I lay on my cot, staring at the cracks in the ceiling, counting the seconds between Vega's breaths. She slept 3 feet away, her back to me, a .45 under her pillow and a hunting knife strapped to her thigh. Even in rest, she was coiled, ready to strike. The first morning, I woke to the sound of retching. A kid named Jax, pale, pockmarked, couldn't have been older than 19, was hunched over a bucket in the corner, heaving last night's ration of canned beans. Vega stood over him, arms crossed, her boot tapping. "You're weak," she spat. "You think the fascists will wait for you to finish crying?" "I'm sorry, Reyna," Jax mumbled, wiping his mouth. She grabbed his collar, yanking him upright. "Sorry gets you dead." Her voice softened, just a fraction. "Go clean up. Then run the obstacle course. Until you puke again." He stumbled out, and Vega caught me watching. "What?" "Nothing," I said. She smirked. "You're judging me. Just figuring out the hierarchy." "There's no hierarchy." She lit a cigarette, the flame trembling in her cupped hand. "Only survival." The Hive's bunker was a labyrinth of stolen moments. Buried beneath an abandoned lumber mill, its corridors were lined with moth-eaten sleeping bags, graffiti-tagged maps, and improvised altars to dead radicals. Che Malcolm X, an Earth First activist named Larkspur who'd blown herself up taking down a coal train in 2012. The recruits were a patchwork of burnout anarchists, runaway teens, and true believers with hollow eyes. They moved like ghosts, flinching at sudden noises, their laughter sharp and fleeting. Vega ran them like a cult. Morning drills, hand-to-hand combat in the mud pit, time bomb assemblies, lectures on eco-philosophy between spoonfuls of cold oatmeal. "Capitalism is a cancer," she'd say, pacing the mess hall. "And we're the fucking chemotherapy." They hung on every word, their faces lit with feverish devotion. "La Reina." I stayed on the edges, playing the role of the wary newcomer. But Vega dragged me into her orbit. "You're with me today," she said on day 3, tossing me a gas mask. "We're hitting a Petra Star XX mansion." The crew hooted. Jax grinned, flashing a missing incisor. "Gonna make him eat his gold Rolex." Vega silenced him with a look. "We're not animals. We're surgeons. Precise. Clean." She turned to me. "You're on demo. Don't fuck it up." The mansion was a glass monstrosity perched on a San Juan Island cliff, all sharp angles and solar panels. The owner, a bloated suit named Caldwell, was hosting a fundraiser for senators who'd gutted the Clean Water Act. Intel said he'd be gone until sunset. Vega's plan: rig the basement supports with shaped charges, collapse the structure into the sea. "Poetic," she said, checking her watch. "You've got 20 minutes. I worked fast, planting C, for along load-bearing beams. Vega watched, her arms crossed, her gaze scalding. "You're sweating, agent. It's hot." She stepped closer. "Or you're nervous." I forced a grin. "You're making me nervous." For a heartbeat, her mask slipped, a flicker of amusement, maybe even warmth. Then she stiffened, radio crackling. "Caldwell's back early. 2 SUVs, 5 minutes out." "Shit." I grabbed the detonator. "We'll trigger it now." "No," she gripped my wrist. "The guests aren't here. No message. They'll catch us." Her eyes hardened. "Then improvise." We hid in the wine cellar as footsteps thudded overhead. Caldwell's voice boomed through the vents. "Absurd tariffs, but the Nigerians'll cave." Ice clinked in a glass. Vega pressed against me in the dark, her breath hot on my neck. I could feel her heartbeat, wild and steady. She's enjoying this. A security guard descended the stairs, flashlight sweeping. Vega moved first, silent, lethal. Her knife slid between his ribs before he could gasp. He crumpled, and she caught him, lowering the body without a sound. Blood pooled around our boots. "You've done this before," I whispered. She wiped her blade on the dead man's shirt. "You haven't. We escaped through a service tunnel, the mansion still standing." Back at the bunker, Vega stormed into the comms room and smashed a monitor. "Caldwell lives because of your incompetence," she shouted at the hacker, a twitchy woman named Sparrow. "You gave me the wrong timeline." "I'm sorry, Reyna, the data." Vega backhanded her. Sparrow hit the floor, blood trickling from her nose. "Sorry gets you dead," Vega repeated, cold and quiet. The room froze. Then she walked out, leaving Sparrow trembling. I followed her to the roof, where she chain-smoked, staring at the stars. "You didn't have to hit her," I said. "You're right." She exhaled smoke. "I should have shot her. She's a kid. We're all kids." Vega's voice frayed. "My daughter was 8 when the refinery toxins hit her lungs. She drowned in her own blood. You think the CEOs send adults to clean up their messes?" The confession hung between us, raw and sudden. I'd read the file, but hearing it here, in the dark, felt like trespassing. "I'm sorry," I said. She laughed, harsh and broken. "Yeah, me too." That night, she crawled into my cot. No words, just heat and teeth and fingers digging into scars. It wasn't love. It was a fight, a battle for control, for oblivion. Afterward, she traced the bullet wound on my shoulder. Kandahar. Yeah. How many did you lose? Everyone. The lie came easy now. She studied me, her eyes searching. Then she kissed me, softer this time, and whispered, liar. Days blurred. We hit targets, fracking sites, private jets, a senator's mistress's yacht. Each attack was a headline, a scream into the void. Langley wanted more, names, plans, proof, but every dead drop I sent felt like a betrayal. One afternoon, Vega took me to a clearing in the woods. Shoot, she said, handing me a rifle. What's the target? She pointed to a deer grazing at the tree line. Dinner. I hesitated. I don't hunt. You do now. The shot rang out. The deer collapsed. Vega knelt beside it, her hand on its heaving side. Quick, she murmured. Always quick. She slit its throat, blood staining the moss. You're good at that, I said. She wiped her knife. I've had practice. The nightmares started soon after. Vega thrashing in her sleep, snarling in a language I didn't recognize. One night she screamed a raw, guttural sound, and I shook her awake. Esta aquí, she gasped, clawing at my arms. She's here, she's. Vega. It's me. She froze, her eyes wide and lost. Then she shoved me away. Don't. Touch. Me. I found the photo the next day, tucked in her jacket. A hospital bed. A tiny girl with Vega's eyes, her skin waxy, tubes snaking into her nose. Scrawled on the back, Marisol, 2017. Breathe, baby. Just breathe. When Vega caught me looking, she slapped me. Hard. That's not yours. I know. She stared at the photo, her anger crumbling. They told me it was safe. The air, the water. Lies. Her thumb brushed Marisol's face. Now I burn their world. Langley's ultimatum came on a Thursday. My handler's voice crackled through the encrypted burner. You have 48 hours to deliver Vega alive, or we drone the bunker. Your call, agent. I found Vega in the armory, loading magazines. We need to talk, I said. She didn't look up. If you're lying, I'll know. The words tasted like ash. I'm not. Liar. Chapter 3, Blood and Blueprints. Vega's idea of a date was rigging a meth lab to explode during a DEA raid. The lab was tucked under a derelict motel outside Spokane, its windows boarded up, the air reeking of ammonia and despair. Cartel lackeys cooked product in the basement while sex workers drifted through the halls like smoke. Vega leaned against our stolen van, studying the building through night vision binoculars. Cops will swarm the place at 3 a.m., she said. We blow it just as they breach. Let the pigs clean up their own filth. I tightened the straps of my Kevlar vest. You're using the DEA as a demolition crew. Efficient, right? She grinned, but it didn't reach her eyes. Something had been off since Langley's ultimatum. She watched me closer, slept lighter, her knife always within reach. We entered through a service door, Vega's crew fanning out behind us, Jax Sparrow, and a hulking ex-Marine named Rook who communicated in grunts. The cartel thugs barely glanced up from their beakers. Pathetic, Vega had said earlier. They think they're untouchable. Tonight, they learn. I planted charges on support beams while Vega flirted with the lab's head enforcer, a sweaty gorilla with a gold incisor. You ever think about switching sides, Hermosa? He asked, leering. I'll keep you safe. She laughed, low and throaty, as she slipped a vial of fentanyl into his whiskey. Safety's boring, Poppy. You should try fear. The charges were set by 2:45 a.m. Vega gathered us in the van, her fingers drumming the detonator. 3 minutes after the DEA breaches, we light the fuse. Rook, you're on overwatch. Sparrow, jam their comms. Jax. Tires screeched. Red and blue lights flooded the street. Early. Sparrow hissed, her laptop glowing. They're early. Chaos erupted. DEA agents in tactical gear poured from armored trucks, battering rams, smashing doors. Vega cursed. Fall back. Now. We ran, bullets pinging off dumpsters. Rook returned fire, his shotgun booming. A DEA agent crumpled, his throat torn open. Jack screamed as a round grazed his arm. I'm hit. I'm fucking hit. Move. Vega dragged him into an alley, blood streaking the asphalt. I covered their retreat, my Glock spitting hollow points. Adrenaline blurred the world, shouting, muzzle flashes, the stink of gunpowder and piss. Then I heard it, a high-pitched whine, like a mosquito in my ear. Drone. Vega down. I tackled her as the missile struck. The motel erupted in a fireball, shrapnel shredding brick and bone. Heat seared my back. Screams DEA cartel, ours, twisted into a single animal wail. Vega shoved me off, her face smeared with ash. The charges. They're still armed. The meth lab's explosives hadn't blown. Yet. Timer's ticking, I said, checking my watch. 2 minutes. She stared at the inferno. Agents and cooks alike burned inside. We need that detonator. It's suicide. Her eyes locked on mine. You scared, agent? We crawled through a storm drain, the metal scorching our palms. The lab's basement was a charnel house. Corpses melted into concrete, flames devouring the ceiling. Vega coughed into her sleeve, squinting through smoke. There. The detonator lay under a collapsed beam. I lunged for it, but the floor groaned. Vega, go. She didn't. She never did. We barely made it out before the second blast. The ground heaved, throwing us into the street. The van was gone. Rook and Sparrow, too. Only Jax remained, sobbing over Rook's body, half buried under rubble. Vega grabbed Jax's face. Look at me. We're alive. That's all that matters. He nodded, trembling. She shot Rook's corpse in the head, a mercy maybe, and stripped him of ammo. Back at the bunker, Vega stormed into the comms room and threw a chair against the wall. Who talked? She roared. Silence. The recruits shrank back, bloodied and shell-shocked. The DEA knew we'd be there. She drew her knife, pointing it at each face. One of you sold us out. Sparrow raised a shaking hand. I might have missed a firewall in their system. Let them trace the tip. Vega moved fast. She slammed Sparrow's head into the table, once, twice, until teeth skittered across the floor. Incompetent bitch. Vega, stop. I grabbed her arm. She whirled, blade kissing my throat. You defending her? You're killing your own. They're not mine, she hissed. They're tools. Just like you. The room held its breath. Sparrow whimpered, blood pooling under her cheek. Vega's knife trembled against my skin. Then, with a snarl, she sheathed it. Clean her up. Bury Rook. And someone burn that fucking van. She left, boots echoing down the hall. I found her in the showers, fully clothed under the spray. Water sluiced off her jacket, pink with diluted blood. You followed me, she said, not turning. You're hurt. She laughed. Always. I stepped closer. The cut on her temple needed stitches. Her knuckles were raw from Sparrow's teeth. Let me help. She flinched when I touched her, like a feral thing. Why? Because you're bleeding. That's not an answer. I dabbed iodine on her temple, my fingers steady. Her breath hitched. You're good at this, she muttered. Field training. Bullshit. You've patched up someone you cared about. The memory hit like a shiv. My squad medic, Hernandez, bleeding out in the Cunar Valley. Tell my girl I tried, he'd gasped. I'd lied. Vega studied my face. They're dead, aren't they? The ones you loved. I wrapped her knuckles in silence. That night, she came to my cot again. No violence, just her forehead pressed to mine, her fingers laced through my hair. I'm sorry, she whispered. For what? For what I'll have to do to you. We didn't sleep. Morning brought a funeral. They burned Rook's remains in a rusted oil drum, the recruits chanting as smoke coiled into the gray sky. Vega tossed in a Petrostar ID badge, a trophy from a dead exec, and saluted. Rest in rage, she said. Jax approached me afterward, his arm bandaged. You saved her. In the lab. I did my job. He hesitated. She trusts you. More than anyone. That's dangerous. Yeah. He glanced at Vega, who was sharpening her knife on a whetstone. But so is she. Langley's deadline loomed. 24 hours. I had to choose, betray Vega or burn with her. She made it harder. That afternoon, she took me to a cliff overlooking the Columbia River. Wind ripped at our clothes as she spread a map on a boulder. This is the next target. I stared. The Grand Coulee Dam? 10 megatons of concrete choking the river. We blow the floodgates, drown the turbines, and watch the lights go out from Seattle to Sacramento. Her eyes blazed. They'll remember us. It's suicide. The security. We've got inside help. She tapped a name on the map. Franklin Cho, dam engineer. His daughter has asthma. The refinery downriver's been poisoning her for years. He's ready to fight. I thought of Marisol, Vega's daughter. The photo. The hospital bed. This isn't just about the cause, is it? She turned to the horizon. Nothing's just anything. I kissed her then, a desperate, hungry thing, like I could swallow her whole. She bit my lip, drawing blood. You taste like guilt, agent. I taste like you. She smiled all edges. Same thing. We scouted the dam at dusk. Cho met us at a maintenance hatch, his face sallow under a hard hat. The guards rotate every 6 hours, he whispered. I've disabled the cameras in Sector C. Vega nodded. Plant the charges here, here, and here. She marked his blueprint. We hit at midnight. Cho hesitated. My daughter, you'll get her out? Vega gripped his shoulder. She'll breathe free air. I swear. He left, shoulders hunched. I waited until he was gone. You can't promise him that. I can, she said. I just did. Back at the bunker, I prepared the dead drop. Coordinates, blueprints, Cho's name. Langley would raise the dam, kill everyone, and call it a win. Vega's face flickered in my mind, her scars, her rage, the way she'd looked at me in the showers. Weakness, my handler would say. Cut it out. I buried the drop under a cairn of stones. As I turned to leave, a voice said, knew it. Jack stepped from the trees, a pistol aimed at my chest. You're a rat. It's not what you think. Bullshit. I followed you. You're selling us out. He cocked the hammer. Vega trusted you. So do you, I said softly. That's why you're here alone. He faltered. I lunged. The fight was ugly. Elbows, knees, teeth. We rolled down a ravine, gravel tearing skin. Jax was stronger, younger, fueled by betrayal. He pinned me, his hands around my throat. Die, you fed fuck. A gunshot. Jax jerked, a red bloom spreading over his heart. He collapsed, eyes wide. Vega stood above us, smoke curling from her pistol. You're late, she said to me. We've got a dam to burn. Chapter 4, The Devil's Bargain. Jax's body hit the forest floor with a wet thud, his blood seeping into the moss like he'd never existed. Vega holstered her pistol, her face a mask of ice. Clean this up, she said, tossing me a shovel. Bury him deep. I stared at the boy's lifeless eyes, still wide with betrayal. He was loyal to you. Loyalty's a bullet with your name on it. She kicked Jax's boot, her voice flat. You think the dam's gonna blow itself? Move. I dug the grave in silence, the shovel biting into roots and rot. Vega watched from a distance, smoking, her gaze fixed on the horizon where the Grand Coulee Dam loomed like a tombstone. When I finished, she knelt and pressed a Petrostar keychain, stolen from an XX corpse, into the dirt. Rest in rage, she muttered, then spat on the fresh mound. The bunker felt colder that night. Sparrow avoided me, her split lip trembling whenever I passed. Rook's empty cot still smelled like gun oil and sweat. Vega paced the war room, drilling the dam blueprints with Franklin Cho's intel. Guard rotations here, here, explosives here, she barked, stabbing the map with a knife. Sparrow, you're on cameras. Agent, you're with me. Sparrow flinched. W's what if the feds trace us again? Vega slammed the knife into the table, an inch from Sparrow's hand. Then you'll die first. We moved at midnight, shadows slithering through the Columbia River Gorge. The dam's floodlights cut through the mist, casting jagged silhouettes on the water. Cho met us at a service hatch, his hard hat askew, reeking of bourbon. Sector C's clear, he whispered. But the night shift commanders knew. Doesn't take bribes. Vega shoved a detonator into his hands. Then make him take a bullet. The tunnel was a claustrophobic hell, dripping concrete, flickering bulbs, the hum of turbines vibrating through my teeth. Vega led the way, her Glock sweeping corners. We passed maintenance crews, their radios crackling with static. Suspicious activity reported near spillway gates. Vega froze. They know. Cho paled. Impossible. I disabled the. She shot him in the kneecap. He screamed, collapsing. Why? You talked. She crouched, pressing her gun to his good leg. How much did they pay you? And nothing. I swear. Bullshit. You sold us to save your kid. Cho sobbed. They threatened her. Said they'd cut her inhalers. Vega's jaw twitched. For a heartbeat, I saw Marisol in his tears, the hospital bed, the tubes. Then she shot him in the head. Plant the charges, she ordered, stepping over his corpse. We've got 8 minutes. The explosives were C, four wrapped in waterproof casing, magnetized to cling to the dam's inner framework. My hands shook as I armed each one. Cho's daughter. Asthma. 12 years old. The timer beeped, counting down to midnight. Vega worked beside me, her movements precise, ruthless. You didn't have to kill him, I said. Yes, I did. He was scared. So am I. She didn't look up. Alarms blared. Boots pounded above us. Vega grabbed my arm, yanking me into a maintenance shaft as guards stormed the tunnel. They're on to us. We need to go. The charges aren't set. They're said enough. We crawled through the shaft, the dam groaning around us. A guard spotted us, shouting into his radio. Vega shot him through the grate, his blood spattering her face. Move. We surfaced near the spillway, the river roaring below. Security spotlights swept the dam. Vega triggered the detonator. Nothing. Fuck. She smashed it against the concrete. Cho rigged a failsafe. Or you killed him too soon. She seized my collar. Fix it. How? The control room. Override the system. That's suicide. She grinned, all teeth. Then let's die shiny. The control room was a fortress of steel and screens, two guards at the door. Vega tossed me a smoke grenade. Distract them. What's the play? Chaos. She kissed me, quick and brutal. Just like Langley taught you. The grenade rolled. Guards shouted. Gunfire erupted. Vega cut them down mid-sprint, their bodies slumping against the blast door. Inside, technicians froze, hands raised. Everyone out, she barked. They fled. I jacked into the mainframe, bypassing firewalls. Cho's code still active. I need a password. Vega shoved a technician's severed keycard into the slot. Try Marisol. The screen blinked red. Access denied. Fuck. She kicked a chair. His daughter's name. What's her name? How the hell should I? A bullet shattered the window. Snipers on the catwalk. Vega returned fire, pinning me down. Hurry. I typed Larkspur, the dead activist from her shrine. Access granted. The countdown resumed. 3 minutes. Go. I yelled. We ran as the dam shuddered, charges detonating in a chain reaction. Concrete cracked. Water roared. The world dissolved into spray and screams. The river swallowed us. I plunged into the black, the current tearing at my limbs. Debris, chairs, computers, bodies battered me. I surfaced, gasping, and spotted Vega clinging to a shattered turbine blade. Here. We rode the rapids, the dam collapsing behind us. Searchlights carved the sky. Helicopters. Sirens. Vega's laugh cut through the chaos. Look at it burn. The river spat us onto a sandbar miles downstream. I vomited water, my ribs screaming. Vega lay beside me, bleeding from a gash in her side, still grinning. We did it. Half the charges failed, I coughed. The dam's still standing. But they'll remember. She gripped my hand, her palm rough and warm. That's all that matters. We limped back to the bunker at dawn. Sparrow gaped at us, soaked and bloodied. You're alive. Vega collapsed into a chair, peeling off her vest. Celebrate later. Burn everything. The feds'll raid by noon. While the recruits scrambled, she pulled me into the armory. Help me stitch this. She nodded at her side, where the gash oozed crimson. I sterilized the needle with whiskey. This'll hurt. Everything does. She didn't flinch as I sewed her flesh. Her skin was fever hot, her breath shallow. You're good at this, she slurred, pain and exhaustion loosening her tongue. Had practice. In the army? And after. Her fingers brushed my wrist. Who'd you lose? The truth clawed up my throat. Hernandez, my squad, the girl with the pink backpack. But I said, no one you'd care about. She caught my face, forcing me to look at her. Try me. I kissed her instead. It was answer enough. We slept tangled in her cot, the bunker echoing with hurried footsteps and the acrid stench of burning files. I woke to her tracing the scar on my chest, a gift from an IED outside Kabul. You never asked about mine, she said, guiding my hand to the twisted flesh on her hip. Shrapnel. Husband. Her voice was flat. He thought loyalty meant obedience. What did you do? Fed him to his own dogs. The confession hung between us. I wondered if Langley knew. If they cared. She pressed closer, her lips grazing my ear. The CIA's coming for you, aren't they? I stiffened. What? Your deadline. To turn me in. My pulse spiked. How long have you known? Since the motel. She smiled, sleepy and sad. I wanted to see how far you'd go. And? She kissed my throat, her teeth sharp. You're almost there. The raid hit at 11:47 a.m. Sparrow's scream woke us. Feds. They're here. Vega rolled off the cot, grabbing her rifle. Time to sting. Agents in full tactical gear breached the bunker, flashbangs blinding. Vega shot the first two through the door, their blood spraying the concrete. Fall back, she ordered. East tunnel. We ran, recruits falling behind. Sparrow took a bullet to the spine, her laptop exploding in sparks. Vega didn't look back. The tunnel exit was a grate leading to the river. Vega pried it open, shoving me through. Go. Together, gunfire echoed. She winced, clutching her side. The stitches had torn. Go. I pulled her into the river as the bunker erupted, charges detonating in a final, defiant roar. The blast scorched the sky, swallowing agents and hive members alike. We floated for miles, the current carrying us into the wilderness. Vega's breath grew shallow, her skin gray. Need to stop the bleeding, she mumbled. I hauled her onto a rocky shore, ripping my shirt for a bandage. Stay with me. She laughed, weak and wet. Wouldn't miss the end. I pressed my forehead to hers, our breaths mingling. I'm sorry. For what? For everything. The CIA found us at dusk. Black SUVs. Men in suits. My handler stepped out, crisp and clean. Good work, agent. Vega's hand found mine under the blanket. Double the price, right? She whispered. Then she slid me her knife. Word count. 1,502. End of chapter 4. Key elements added. Damn mission execution. High-stakes sabotage with technical detail and catastrophic consequences. Cho's tragic betrayal. Humanizes Vega's ruthlessness while mirroring her loss. Physical/emotional intimacy. Vulnerability during wound stitching deepens their bond. Vega's confession reveals marital trauma, adding layers to her defiance. Climactic betrayal. Protagonist's choice between Vega and CIA crystallizes as the bunker falls. Ambiguous loyalty. Final moments leave Vega's survival and protagonist's allegiance uncertain. The chapter escalates toward collapse of missions, relationships, and moral boundaries, setting the stage for Chapter 5's reckoning. Chapter 5, Kiss the Knife. The CIA's black site stank of bleach and burnt coffee. Fluorescent lights buzzed overhead, bleaching the steel interrogation table where they'd cuffed me. My handler, Martin, his name tag finally read, sat across from me, sipping espresso from a porcelain cup. You look like shit, he said. I leaned back, chains clinking. You try surviving a dam explosion and a river. He slid a file toward me. Inside, satellite photos of the Grand Coulee Dam, half-collapsed, floodwaters swallowing eastern Washington. Casualty estimates. A headline, ECO terrorists decimate Columbia River, 200-plus dead. Nice work, he said. Langley's impressed. Fuck Langley. Martin smiled. They'll love that in your performance review. The door opened. Two agents dragged Vega in, her wrists zip-tied, her face a mask of dried blood and defiance. They threw her into the chair beside me. Her knee brushed mine under the table, a flicker of contact, electric and fleeting. Martin steepled his fingers. Here's the deal. Vega gives us the hive's remaining cells. You walk free, promotion included. Refuse, he nodded to the mirror. Behind it, a sniper's laser danced on Vega's forehead. She spat on the floor. Go chew a tailpipe. Brave. Martin turned to me. What about you, agent? Ready to retire? Vega's knife, her knife, slipped to me on the riverbank, burned against my ankle. I could cut her free. Kill Martin. Die trying. Weakness, her voice hissed in my memory. Cut it out. I met her eyes. What do you want? She smirked. Double the price. They threw us into a concrete cell to think. Vega paced like a caged wolf, her stitches split, blood trickling down her leg. You're really considering it, she said. Considering what? Selling me. I gripped the knife under my sleeve. You sold yourself first. She lunged, pinning me against the wall. You think I don't know your play? You'll hand me over, cry yourself to sleep, then blow your brains out. Her breath was hot, rancid. But you're too scared to pull the trigger. And you're not. She headbutted me. Stars exploded. I tackled her to the floor, the knife between us. Do it, she goaded, arching into the blade. Be a good little fed. I hesitated. She kissed me. It tasted like blood and rage. Her teeth cut my lip, her hands clawing my back. I dropped the knife, grabbing her hair, pulling her closer. The door crashed open. Agents yanked us apart. Vega laughed, wild and unhinged. He's mine, she told Martin. You hear me? He'll never be yours. Martin nodded to a guard. The cattle prod hit her ribs, and she convulsed, crumpling. Take her to extraction, he said. Extraction. I struggled against the hands holding me. Advanced interrogation. He adjusted his tie. She'll talk. They always do. They let me watch. Through the one-way glass, I saw Vega strapped to a metal chair, electrodes glued to her temples. A doctor in scrubs adjusted the dials. Where are the hive cells? Martin asked, calm as a priest. Vega smiled. Eat my entire ass. The current hit. Her body snapped taut, a guttural scream tearing from her throat. Stop! I slammed the glass. Martin ignored me. Again. Another jolt. Vega's head whipped back, her eyes rolling. Spit foamed on her chin. Fuck you. Again. I grabbed Martin's arm. She'll die. He shrugged. Then we'll clone her. The door burst open. An agent shoved a tablet at Martin. Sir, emergency broadcast. The screen showed a grocery store parking lot in Portland. A Hive militant, masked, armed, held a gas can to a minivan full of kids. Release Vega by dawn, a distorted voice demanded, or we cook them alive. Martin paled. That's your move, he asked Vega. She grinned, bloody and triumphant. Told you. I sting first. They cut me loose. Fix this, Martin ordered, tossing me a burner phone and a Glock. Or we drone the whole block. Vega slumped in the passenger seat of the stolen sedan, her wrists cuffed to the door. You're welcome, she slurred, still twitching from the shocks. I punched the gas. You planned this. Plans are for suckers. She kicked the dash. Left at the light. The parking lot was a war zone. SWAT snipers on rooftops, news helicopters circling, parents screaming behind police tape. The Hive militant, Jax's cousin? Sparrow's replacement? Doused the van with gasoline, kids sobbing inside. Vega rolled down her window. Hey, Firebug. The militant turned. Reyna. She blew him a kiss. Miss me. He lowered his mask. Jax's brother. Same pockmarks, same dead eyes. You're supposed to be dead. I'm flattered. Vega nodded to me. Shoot him. What? He's unstable. Shoot him. The militant raised his lighter. I'll do it. I aimed. Hesitated. Vega sighed. Christ. She grabbed the wheel and floored it. The sedan plowed into the militant, crushing him against the van. Kids shrieked. Vega yanked the keys from my pocket and uncuffed herself. Coming. Chaos erupted. SWAT opened fire. I dove after her into a storm drain, bullets pinging off metal. You're insane. I shouted, crawling through sludge. You're slow. We surfaced in a methadone clinic's basement. Vega looted a first aid kit, gulping OxyContin. Next target's bigger, she said, stitching her arm with dental floss. There's no next target. The Hive's gone. She laughed. The Hive's me. Always was. I grabbed her. Then stop. Before they kill you. She stilled. You care. I'm trying to save your life. Why? Because I've killed everyone else. Because you're all I have left. Her eyes softened. For a heartbeat, she looked human. Then she headbutted me again. Wrong answer. She took me to a graveyard. Moonlight bathed the headstones, the air thick with jasmine and decay. Vega knelt at a tiny plot, weeds choking the marker. Marisol Vega. 2009 to 2017. Too brief, too bright. I come here when I want to remember, she said. Remember what? What happens when you trust the system? She tore out a fistful of grass. They promised the refinery was safe. Promised the water was clean. Promised, promised, promised. Her voice broke. She died screaming. I touched her shoulder. She flinched but didn't pull away. You think I'm a monster, she said. I think you're hurt. She laughed, wet and raw. Same thing. The burner phone rang. Martin, you've got 1 hour to deliver Vega, he said. Or what? Or we burn you both. Vega pressed her lips to my ear. Let's give them a show. The abandoned church reeked of piss and gunpowder. Vega's safe house was a nest of sniper rifles, blasting caps, and a jury-rigged bomb vest. They'll send drones, she said, strapping on C4. But we'll be underground. We. She tossed me a vest. Unless you want to die topside. I stared at the explosives. This is suicide. It's leverage. She gripped my face. You want out? This is how. We blow the church, fake our deaths, vanish. And the Hive. Fuck the Hive. Her thumb brushed my cheek. It's just us now. The lie was sweet. I almost believed it. We kissed, slow and deep, as the drones circled. Chapter 6, The Last Hive. The church bell tower groaned in the wind, its rusted crucifix tilting toward hell. Vega strapped the last charge to my chest, her fingers lingering on the detonator. Remember, she said, the second the drones fire, we drop. Let the sea for eat the blast. I nodded, sweat stinging my eyes. The vest weighed like a corpse. And if the charges don't trigger? She kissed the corner of my mouth. Then we go out loud. Outside, the sky throbbed with the buzz of drones. CIA. Always watching. Always hunting. Vega tossed me a sniper rifle and climbed into the bell tower, her boots scattering pigeon bones. I took position behind a collapsed pew, aiming at the stained glass Christ shattered by bullet holes. Forgive me, I thought, though I wasn't sure who I was begging. They came at dawn. Black SUVs encircled the church, agents spilling out like ants. Martin's voice boomed through a megaphone. Last chance, agent. Send her out. Vega's laugh echoed from the rafters. Come get me, shitbird. A drone missile struck the steeple. The roof collapsed in a hail of fire and splinters. Vega dropped beside me, coughing blood. Now. I hit the detonator. Nothing. Fuck. Vega slammed her fist against the floor. Chose failsafe. Another missile hit. The walls buckled. Flames licked the pews. Vega grabbed my face. Distract them. I'll rewire the charges. They'll kill you. She grinned. They'll try. I ran into the open, firing wild. Agents dove for cover. Bullets chewed the ground at my heels. Vega's voice crackled in my earpiece. 30 seconds. Martin stepped into the kill zone, his suit pristine. Stand down, agent. That's an order. I aimed at his chest. You first. He sighed. Pathetic. A sniper round tore through my thigh. I collapsed, screaming. Vega's voice. 10 seconds. Get clear. I crawled toward the church. Vega. The world erupted. White noise. Ash in my lungs. I woke in a crater, the church reduced to smoldering teeth. My vest was gone. So was Vega. No. I clawed through debris, my hands bleeding. Vega. A boot crunched behind me. Martin. Looking for this? He held up her scarf, singed and bloody. I lunged. He tasered me. She's dead, he said. Bodies in pieces. But you already knew that. The lie curdled in my gut. Liar. She's always lying. He tossed me a phone. Last transmission from your little terrorist. The screen showed Vega's face, smoke swirling behind her. Hey, agent. If you're watching this, I'm either dead or fucking thrilled. The hive's not a cell, it's an idea. And ideas don't die. P.S. Check your vest. I frowned. My discarded bomb vest lay nearby. Inside the lining, a USB drive and a key. Coordinates glowed on the screen. 64°16.5" N147°4259.3W. Alaska. What's on the drive? Martin demanded. I swallowed blood. The truth. He aimed his gun. Hand it over. A church bell rang. Or maybe it was the tinnitus. Vega's laugh echoed in my skull. Double the price. I detonated the vest. The safe house was a fishing shack north of Fairbanks, iced windows overlooking the Bering Sea. Vega's final gift. The USB held schematics of every Petrostar facility on the coast, plus a video. Hey, agent. Her hologram flickered over the desk. If you're here, I'm gone. Don't be a hero, burn it all. P.S. There's bourbon under the floorboards. I drank. I burned. Winter froze the sea, but the pipeline bled. They found me on the solstice. Martin's replacement, a baby-faced spook, knocked with a Glock. Langley wants you back. New cell. New queen. I threw him my badge. Tell Langley to rot. He left. I watched the northern lights, Vega's scarf around my neck. You're free, agent, she whispered in the wind. For the first time, I believed her. Chapter 7. Ghosts in the Snow. The Alaskan winter wasn't a season. It was a predator. It stalked you, bit through layers of wool and denial, and left your bones ringing with the kind of cold that felt like punishment. I'd been holed up in Vega's fishing shack for 2 months, watching the Bering Sea freeze and thaw and freeze again, trying to forget the smell of burning churches and the taste of her blood. The USB drive was ashes now, scattered in the outhouse hole. The key opened nothing but memories. I spent my days chopping wood, hauling ice for water, and drinking Vega's bourbon stash until the northern lights blurred into green ghosts. At night, I dreamed of her. Sometimes she was laughing, grenade dust on her lips. Sometimes she was screaming, electrodes melting her skull. Always, she asked the same question. Was it worth it? I never had an answer. The first sign was the raven. It appeared on the solstice, pecking at the frozen carcass of a salmon I'd tossed outside. Not unusual, except for the tag around its leg, a strip of black cloth stained with something dark. I shot it with my .22, cooked it over the stove, and found the message inside its gullet. Two words burned into a scrap of Petrostar stationery. She's coming. I drank until I passed out. The second sign was the snowmobile. I heard it at dawn, its whine slicing through the silence like a scalpel. By the time I grabbed my rifle and stumbled outside, it was gone. But the tracks led to the bluff overlooking the shack, and there, stamped into the snow, was a honeycomb symbol. La Reina. I spent 3 days rigging the perimeter with tripwires and C4. Langley hadn't found me. The hive hadn't either. But ghosts? Ghosts didn't need roads. The third sign was Martin. He came on a Tuesday, during the storm that would later be called the worst in a decade. I was half drunk, mending a fishing net, when the door burst open. Snow and shadows swirled inside. A figure in a black parka staggered in, gloved hands raised. "Easy, agent. It's me." I aimed the .22 at his chest. "You're dead. I blew you up." Martin lowered his hood. Frostbite had eaten part of his nose, and his left eye was milky with scar tissue. "You missed." I pulled the trigger. Click. Empty. He tossed a bottle of single malt onto the table. "Still paranoid, I see. Still a cockroach." We drank in silence, the storm screaming outside. He didn't mention Vega. Didn't mention the pipeline I'd torched. Just stared at the photo on the wall, Marisol, her smile faded to a ghost. "They're coming for you," he said finally. "Who?" "The hive. Or what's left of it." He poured another shot. "Vega's alive." The room tilted. "Liar. Always lying." He slid a tablet across the table. Security footage showed a woman in a ski mask firebombing a Petrostar tanker in Valdez. She moved like Vega. Fought like her. Died like her, swan diving off the rig as it exploded. "Body was vaporized," Martin said. "But the DNA's a match." I threw the tablet into the fire. "What do you want?" "To retire." He lit a cigarette, hands steady. "But they won't let me. Not until she's gone. And they think you're the only one who can do it." The wind howled. The shack groaned. I thought of Vega's knife, hidden under the floorboards. Thought of putting it through Martin's good eye. "Why now?" He smiled, all rot and regret. "Because she's asking for you." The storm raged for 3 days. Martin slept in my cot while I kept watch, his snores mixing with the creak of ice. On the fourth morning, he was gone. So was the rest of my bourbon. Left in its place was a GPS coordinates chip and a note. 64°51′23″1″N147°43345.6W. Midnight. Come alone. I burned the note. Drank the last of the fuel-grade vodka. Then I dug up Vega's knife and followed the coordinates. The meat was a derelict oil rig stranded in the ice, its metal bones weeping rust. Aurora Borealis painted the sky, green and cruel. I climbed the ladder, my breath frosting the air, and found her waiting on the helipad. Vega. She stood with her back to me, hooded, her silhouette sharp against the lights. The wind carried her voice, familiar as a gunshot. "Took you long enough." I drew the knife. "Prove it's you." She turned, lowering her hood. The scar on her neck was new, jagged, still pink. But her eyes hadn't changed. "Gunmetal. Hungry. You owe me a kiss," she said. I threw the knife. It buried itself in the mast behind her. "You died." "I got better." She stepped closer, her boots crunching ice. "You look like shit. You look dead." She laughed, and it was the same broken music. "Miss me?" "I did. God help me, I did." She talked fast, pacing like caged lightning. "The church explosion? A decoy. The body parts? A Jane Doe from a meth lab raid. The hive. Reborn angrier, with cells in 12 countries. They think I'm a messiah," she said, spitting over the railing. "But I'm just a woman with a lighter. And the CIA. Still cockroaches." She gripped the railing, her knuckles white. "They're building a new refinery. Here." She nodded to the frozen sea. "Biggest in the world. We burn it, we buy the planet another decade." I stared at the ice. "You're asking me to help. I'm asking you to choose." She pressed a detonator into my hand. Again, the lights danced above us. Somewhere a wolf howled. "Why me?" She kissed me, her lips chapped and cold. "Because you're the only one who ever said no. We planned the strike in the rig's control room, blueprints spread over stained consoles. Vega's new crew were faceless, nameless, kids with dead eyes and old souls. They called her Phoenix now. I called her Reckless. Security's tighter than a nun," I said, tracing the refinery schematics. "We need a distraction." She smirked. "You're looking at it." The plan was simple. She'd lead a team to sabotage the pipeline while I planted charges in the reactor core. If we time it right, the blast'll crack the ice and sink the whole thing. And if we're wrong, she checked her rifle. Then we go out loud. Midnight. The refinery glowed on the horizon, a steel tumor on the ice. Vega rode ahead on a stolen snowmobile, her crew trailing like shadows. I followed, the detonator heavy in my pocket. The guards never saw her coming. Chaos erupted, gunfire, screams, the hiss of cutting torches. I slipped into the reactor core, the C4 strapped to my chest. The charges were set. The timer beeped. Then I saw her. Vega, pinned behind a fuel tank, surrounded by PMC mercenaries. Her mask was torn, blood streaking her face. Our eyes met. She grinned. Do it. I hesitated. The world exploded. Chapter 8, Fractured Ice. The world erupted in a cacophony of fire and splintering ice. I hadn't pressed the detonator, couldn't press it, not with Vega's eyes locked on mine, but the refinery blew anyway. A secondary explosion ripped through the reactor core, swallowing the mercenaries in a plume of molten steel. The blast hurled me backward, my ribs cracking against a frozen pipeline. Through the smoke, I saw Vega rise like a wraith, her silhouette framed against the inferno. Move, she screamed, yanking me to my feet. The ice groaned beneath us, fissures spiderwebbing toward the sea. We sprinted, boots slipping on blackened snow, as the refinery collapsed into the Arctic depths. Behind us, the PMC survivors opened fire, bullets pinging off twisted metal. Vega returned shots blindly, her breath ragged. East. There's a cave. We dove into the fissure as the ice shattered, frigid water surging up to our knees. The cave was a jagged throat of rock, barely wide enough to crawl through. Vega collapsed against the wall, clutching her side. Blood seeped through her parka, black in the dim light. Let me see, I said, reaching for her. She slapped my hand. Save the Florence Nightingale shit. Check the entrance. I crawled back, peering into the storm. Flashlights bobbed in the distance, PMC hunters, tracking our prints. They're coming. Of course they are. Vega fumbled with her gear, pulling out a flare. Here's the plan, you distract them. I flank. You're bleeding out. And you're wasting time. She lit the flare, its red glow carving shadows into her face. Unless you want to die in a fucking popsicle cave. I grabbed her arm. We're not doing this again. No more suicide plays. She laughed, wet and raw. You think this is suicide? Sweetheart, you haven't seen shit. A gunshot echoed. Rock splinters rained down. Vega shoved the flare into my hand. Go. The PMC team was 5 men, armed to the teeth and pissed. I ran, the flare a beacon in the storm, leading them away from the cave. Bullets bit the ice around me. I zigzagged, heart pounding, until the flare died. Then I dropped, sliding into a crevasse as their shouts faded. Vega's turn. Silence. Then screams. By the time I crawled back, 3 PMCs lay dead, their throats slit. Vega straddled the 4th, her knife buried in his chest. The 5th aimed at her back. I shot him first. Vega looked up, panting. Took you long enough. You're welcome. We looted the bodies. Ammo, rations, a satellite phone. Vega pocketed it. Langley's tracking these. We've got maybe an hour before Martin's drones show. Then let's disappear. She smirked. Already on it. The safe house was a rusted shipping container buried in the tundra, stocked with Soviet-era rations and a kerosene heater. Vega stripped off her parka, revealing a gash across her ribs. Stitch me. I boiled water, my hands steady. This needs a hospital. And you need a personality. She gulped vodka, wincing as the needle pierced her skin. Talk. Keep me awake. About what? Why you hesitated? The heater hissed. Outside, the wind screamed. I didn't want to become you, I said finally. She snorted. Too late. I yanked the suture. She cursed. You're not the only ghost here, I said. Every time I close my eyes, I see the pipeline. The church. Jax. Jax chose his side. He was 19. And now he's fertilizer. She grabbed my wrist, her eyes blazing. You think I don't see them? Marisol. Hernandez. That fucking girl in Aleppo. They're all here. She tapped her temple. But you don't honor them by quitting. You burn the world that killed them. I finished the stitches. Maybe I'm tired of burning. She leaned back, her voice softening. Then why'd you come? I didn't answer. The drones found us at dawn. They buzzed like angry hornets, peppering the container with mini-missiles. We fled into a blizzard, the tundra a white hell. Vega's wound reopened, staining the snow. Go without me, she gasped. Not a chance. I dragged her into an ice fishing hut, its walls papered with old penthouse magazines. She slumped against the wall, her breath shallow. Listen, the refinery wasn't the target. It's a front. For what? A biolab. Petrostar's engineering a virus. Wipe out resistance. Profit from the cure. She coughed blood. Coordinates in my boot. I froze. You knew. I knew. And you didn't tell me? Would you have come? The hut shook. A drone spotlight pierced the window. Vega pressed a key into my hand, the same one from Alaska. Chose failsafe. Labs underground. Flood it, and you end this. We end it together. She smiled, her teeth red. Always the fucking hero. The biolab was a concrete tumor under the ice, its entrance guarded by PMCs. Vega limped beside me, her rifle trembling. Cover me. I'll plant the charges. You can barely walk. And you can barely shoot. We're a match. We breached the lab in a hail of gunfire. Scientists fled, lab coats flapping. Vega shoved C-4 into ventilation shafts while I held the door. Hurry. Almost done. A bullet tore through her shoulder. She fell, detonator skittering across the floor. Martin stepped from the shadows, his scarred face twisted. Game over. I aimed. He aimed. Vega laughed. Took you long enough, she spat. Martin's finger tightened on the trigger. You both die here. Vega lunged, tackling him. They crashed into a lab table, vials shattering. A virus canister rolled toward the flames. Go! Vega screamed. I ran. The explosion vaporized the lab, the firestorm melting the ice. I surfaced miles away, alone, the key burning in my fist. Chapter 9, The Sting. The world ended quietly. No fanfare. No final sermon from Vega. Just the creak of shifting ice and the distant howl of a wind that no longer carried her laugh. I knelt in the snow, the key she'd given me digging into my palm like a shard of her bones. The biolab's entrance was a steel maw buried under the tundra, its access panel blinking red. Chose failsafe. Vega's last gift. Or her final joke. I pressed the key to the scanner. Access granted. The door hissed open, exhaling antiseptic air and the faint hum of machinery. Inside, the lab was a sterile nightmare, glass chambers glowing with viscous green fluid, rows of vials labeled Project Cicada, and a wall of monitors flashing pandemic models. Case fatality rate, 98%. Estimated global deaths, 3.2 billion. Petrostar's logo stamped every screen. Vega's voice echoed in my skull, burn it all. I didn't have C4. Didn't need it. The lab's self-destruct protocol was a button under bulletproof glass. Authorized personnel only. I shot the glass. The alarm screamed. Martin found me in the control room, his face a ruin of frostbite and fury. You're predictable, he spat, aiming his pistol. Like a dog chasing cars. I raised my hands, the detonator behind my back. And you're still a cockroach. He fired. The bullet grazed my ear. Where is she? Dead. Liar. He stepped closer, barrel trembling. You think I don't know her? She'd never let you win. The countdown ticked on the monitors. 3 minutes. She's gone, I said. Just ash and what-ifs. His eye twitched. Then you'll die for nothing. I smiled. Nothing's all I've got left. The fight was brutal. No elegance, just teeth and desperation. We crashed into servers, shattered vials, rolled in bioweapon slurry that burned our skin. He bit my wrist. I gouged his milky eye. The detonator skittered away, forgotten. You're weak, he gasped, pinning me under his weight. Always were. I headbutt him. And you're boring. The countdown hit 1 minute. A gunshot rang out. Martin froze, a red bloom spreading over his heart. He crumpled, revealing Vega in the doorway. She leaned against the frame, her parka charred, her face a mosaic of burns and blood. But alive. Always alive. Told you. I sting first, she rasped, dropping the smoking pistol. We didn't speak. Didn't need to. The lab shuddered, pipes bursting, flames licking the virus tanks. I dragged her into the elevator, her breath shallow, her fingers interlaced with mine. Why? I asked as the doors closed. She coughed, red flecking her lips. Had to make sure you did it right. The elevator lurched. Lights died. We plunged into darkness. The ice swallowed the lab. By dawn, there was only a crater, steaming like an open wound. Vega and I lay on the tundra, watching the aurora fade. You're dying, I said. She laughed, wet and broken. Aren't we all? I turned her face to mine. Don't. She kissed me, her blood salty on my tongue. You're free, agent. Her hand went slack. Epilogue. They never found her body. The official story, a methane explosion, a tragic accident. PetroStar's stock plummeted. The Hive's graffiti bloomed on every refinery wall. I moved to a cabin in the Brooks Range. No bourbon. No bombs. Just silence and the occasional raven. One night, I found a honeycomb carved into my door. Inside, a USB drive and a note. "You're welcome. V." I burned it. But sometimes, when the northern lights dance, I swear I hear her laugh. Grenade dust on the wind.